candy.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We've got a full slate of things to talk about. We're going to talk, just give our final thoughts on the Jets game, a controversy that is not really a controversy. We'll head out to the untamed lands of the AFC West with a little westward expansion, a little pretender contender conversation. My name is Quentin Morris. We got our producer Thiz running the show, and now a guy whose glaucoma blocks my great sports takes, the old man himself, JP.
Fuck off. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good. I think, Jets game was a little stressful. I know I couldn't make the post-game show as I was at a little watch party hanging out with some of my coworkers and a few Royals players, but...
Well, you're something like a pimp.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, you got the beard for it. Yeah, that's good. That's cool, man. Shit. I mean,
here we go again.
Thanks, Fish. Shit.
Here we go.
Well, that was an interesting game, man. I mean,
way more stressful than I thought it would be.
It wasn't the beginning.
No. Getting up 17-0. You're standing there around like that's the way it's supposed to be. And then they slowly climb back. Patrick Mahomes has an un-Patrick Mahomes-like game. The last time he had a game like that, the Chiefs were not in a Super Bowl playing against the Bucs. And that was the first time in the Patrick Mahomes career that he had less touchdowns, less passing yards, and more interceptions than the quarterback he was going up against.
Yes.
Even going back to his college days.
Yeah, it was weird. I watched that game from, live, and then I also watched the All-22 on it. And the one thing that I noticed, barring any bullshit holds that went on, the Jets ran a lot of stunts.
Yeah, they did.
And that those stunts stunted us because we didn't know how to react to those. And I think that was part of the problem. They adjusted very well in the second half with those stunts.
Yeah. I'm happy you brought that up. There was a couple of times where you had the left defensive end almost pulling like a guard.
Yeah.
And going to all the way to the other side of the defensive line. That shows the speed, the just pure athleticism and talent that the Jets have on that defensive line. You cannot do that with many players in the NFL, but I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great point.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, we talked about this, and I know I brought this up on the show, that I was a little nervous about their defense because I thought they would come out full bore, given the fact that they're playing the champs. I also didn't think they were going to, keep it that close, but they did come out full bore. I will say this, Sauce Gardner is raw. People can say what they want. But he makes a lot of mistakes, and his mistakes he's very handsy, which I'm okay with an aggressive CB defensive back, even a safety to a degree, but he's a young guy that really, he shows his frustration very quickly.
Yeah.
And that hurt them, on a couple of different occasions, but it's not just us. He's done that with, everybody who's played. So it's something that they have to clean up, and which I don't think they'll have a problem doing. I like what this says. Those stunts that the Jets ran makes me excited to get a Minshew back, and I absolutely agree with you there. There's no doubt. There's no arguing that
he can now practice with the team.
Yes, he can.
So he is now officially back with the team, but he can't play for another 2 weeks.
Correct. But I will give them credit. I'm going to give Zach Wilson all the credit in the world because, look, man, when he came out in the opening drive, when he was sitting on the sidelines for the opening drive, it looked like he was staring at ghosts. He was scared to death. You can see it in his face. You can see it in his eyes. He did not want to play in that game. He was scared. at halftime when they were down 17 to nothing. He was really scared. But that little bit of momentum that we gave him really propelled his game through the second half. And I'm going to give him credit for that because he's one of those guys that he wears, you know, his emotions on his sleeve. He takes everything that is said about him to heart, and it shows. And this is what he needed. He needed that bump, if you will, to get his game on track. I'm not going to complain about what he did. It wasn't the best outing, but it was his best outing, I think, of his career. It was 253 yards.
At least for a while. He'd been playing like crap for a long time. He had been getting called out by more than just the New York media market. There was a ton of pressure on his shoulders. And when it, you know, mattered most, there were some opportunities for him to just give up, right? You're down 17-0. Everybody's been calling your name out in the media, talking about how trash you are. Nobody's giving you a chance in this game. And, you know, you got lucky with a bad safety call. You get the ball back. You're driving down the field. You're throwing darts that I didn't know you had the capability of throwing.
Unbelievable, man.
And, you know, you kick a field goal. You kick another field goal. You start to get back into this game. And I think it's good for the Jets moving forward. I don't know if they're able to do anything with it, but at the very least, at the very least, it shows that, you know, maybe there's still that talent in there and why you were picked second overall.
I agree. I, you know, he's had a rough go of it through his career so far. And, you know, look, man, it's very difficult to be in the New York market and be a quarterback. It's difficult to be a water boy or a mascot in the New York market.
Yeah.
So for him to stick with it and then, you know, put up a fight, with the defending champions, one of the best teams in football, you know, arguably one of the best defenses in football, I my hat's off to him. Robert Saleh, you know, there's times I think he's a good coach, and then there's times I think he's a terrible coach. He's just got a very strange personality and very weird mannerisms for a head coach. Reminds me, to be honest with you, of Daboll in certain ways. And I'll get into that later, but for the Monday Night Football game. But regardless, it was good for him to get that momentum going. I think it gave him a little bit more respect in the locker room. And I feel good about his game. I'm not going to complain about what he did. Now, we can switch really quick to our offensive side of the ball. And it was a very strange game for Patrick Mahomes. He knew it himself. I don't know if he was having some kind of a issue, whether a mental block or what the case may have been, but he threw two interceptions to two separate tight ends. Both the first one was clearly underthrown and lobbed, and he knew it. I mean, he walked off the field saying, "Throw the fucking ball," you know. That's going to happen. You can't expect the best quarterback to ever play the game not to have somewhat of a bad game, because every single one of them has done it.
Yeah, believe it or not, the man is the man.
Exactly. Humans are human, and they're going to make mistakes. The thing that I took away from this game the most was that they double-teamed, triple-teamed Travis Kelce, and they didn't adjust the wide receiver core or the packages to make up for that. And I think that hurt them in the second half. It hurt them in the second half. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, yeah, Patrick Mahomes threw two bad interceptions. That like lob pass he threw looked like he was trying to shoot a basketball.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. Like I said, he's human. That is a good defense. It's a good secondary, good pass rush. And, you know, you're going to make mistakes. I think it shows that You know, he still has that, obviously, that competitive drive, because when it mattered most, he was able to run for a first down for, like, you know, third and 50. He was able to pick up the first down. So, yeah. You know, there's no concern here on this end. Wide receiver's got to be better. And I don't know when the moment is where if the wide receivers continue to play like this, get no separation, and don't come up when the time matters most, when it's time to hit the panic button. I know it's not now, but, you know, we're halfway to the trade deadline. And if this continues up for another 2 or 3 weeks, I think that's when you might want to start hitting the panic button.
Yeah, I agree.
There is starting to be some under the surface concerns on my end of when are the wide receivers going to figure it out, in a sense. Where are we going to see separation from Sky Moore? When are we going to see it from more consistently from a guy like Rashee Rice? He can get open, but a lot of that stuff is like the over the middle stuff, which is great. You know, we need somebody to fill that role, that Juju Smith-Schuster type role, but I need you to run more than just 5 yard slants. Okay.
I like what this just put up, seventh rounder for Claypool. I'm not going to complain about that. That wouldn't be a bad move.
My only concern is that, you know, he's quit on his team.
I understand, but there's a lot of internal.
I know there's a difference between playing for Kansas City and Chicago, but
yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's a reason why he was traded out of the Pittsburgh, and there's a reason why he quit on the Bears. And I would just be hesitant if, you know, why would the Chiefs want to invest? Now, if you're literally giving up a seventh round draft pick,
who cares?
Yeah. I mean, I know the Chiefs have done stuff with it, but if you're asking for the potential that you're getting a decent wide receiver with a seventh round pick, then, you know, I'm for it, especially because I think his salary is $2.9 million. And if you trade for him at, you know, week 8, I mean, that's halfway through the season. So you're paying like 1.4-ish.
Yeah, somewhere in that range, yeah.
Because he's made half of his paychecks already. Yeah. So you're not talking about really any significant value. But, you know, I've been very hesitant to – I don't want to say bash. I've been very hesitant to criticize the passing game and the pass catchers specifically. But they need to step up. And, you know, we'll see over the next few weeks. We'll talk about the Vikings on Thursday. But spoiler alert, their defense is not good. And if you aren't able to create separation or to show anything going into Minnesota, these conversations are going to keep going on.
Yeah, I agree. Their defense has not shown up yet. I'm not going to say they're not any good. I'm just going to say that they haven't shown up yet. Now, I don't know if that is a product of coaching or if it's a product of player and coaching or if it's just the players. All I know is that sometimes, you know, they did do some rebuild on that defensive side of the ball with Minnesota. And I feel like sometimes, as we've seen with us, it takes time to gel. One thing I will say is that Kirk Cousins, although I like him very well, I see him making some costly mistakes with our CBs.
Yeah. And we'll get more in depth with that on the Thursday show.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the controversy that came up.
Fuck.
Let's just head to the – I know Thiz has the tweets from Sauce Gardner, if you want to put those up. The first thing he tweeted out, which is the tweet that he actually deleted, was one about Taylor Swift. He said, you know, LMAO, maybe if I was a Swiftie, then never mind. And this was, you know, just trying to take a stab at Travis Kelce, I guess, because now the big hot take – around the NFL and people is that the NFL would never let the Chiefs lose while Taylor Swift is in the audience.
That's so stupid. And
then he followed that up with another tweet, just trying to excuse, you know, what he did. It was holding. If it wasn't a hold, then it was at least illegal contact, because they were making a ton. He was hitting MVS a ton on that, you know, deep throw. And like we brought up earlier, look, Sauce Gardner is a handsy corner.
Very handsy corner.
We saw it firsthand here in Kansas City. with Breshad Breeland. Yeah. Good corner. What was just very handsy. And sometimes you pay for that. Now, Sauce Gardner is a much better corner than Breshad Breeland was. But that's the risk you take by being a handsy corner. And it was a hold. And I'm, you know, eventually I just get tired of teams, players just bitching about the refs when you had an opportunity to win the game and you didn't. So,
well, here's the thing. If you're going to bitch about the refs, don't go down 17-0 by halftime.
Exactly. Especially when you're a defensive player. The one thing I'll say about this controversy is that this is when you know you're on top of the mountain. When they can no longer bitch about you as a team, when the only thing that they can bitch about is, man, look at the refs helping out this team. They don't need help. It's exactly
loser mentality. Loser absolutely. Mentality. Absolutely.
As a Chiefs fan, just accept it that as long as 1-5 is throwing the football around, this is what you're going to get. Because at a certain point, the only thing that they can complain about is the guys wearing the stripes and not the guy wearing red.
Okay, there was a play when Mahomes scrambled. I think it was the long scramble. And on the left hash mark, the defender was basically doing his best Karate Kid impersonation. And he was face masking. And they kept saying it was a hold that the refs missed. I'm trying to remember who it was. It may have been Trey Smith that he had a hold of. Or not Trey Smith. Trey Smith. It may have been Trey Smith he had a hold of. But he had his – look, there's rules in the NFL when it comes to holding or not holding. Some of the rules are based upon a ref's decision. It's not really it's just a decision-making process on the field. They can either make the call or they don't have to. If that penalty, if you look at the play, and I have it on Twitter right now, you can go and look at it right now. I've slowed it down on all 22. First of all, the defender had his right hand, and you couldn't see it because he was so close to Trey Smith, but he was pulling him towards him at first. Then he switched when Trey Smith was kind of trying to block him. He had his right hand in there and he was face masking and karate chopping Trey Smith. First of all, it's not a hold because his hands were within the defender's chest frame, within the pads. So it's really not a hold there. You can tug a jersey. If you don't throw him on the ground, I mean, I can read the rules to you if you'd like to have them, but you have to be, for it to be a hold, you have to actually be, your momentum has to be going towards the play. That defender stopped his momentum to fight. He did not continue to move forward. It was well outside of the box. And this was just a shoving, pushing match by the time Mahomes had already been 14 yards downfield. It was not a fucking hold. It was a pissing match between two players and the defensive player that got angry because Trey Smith put the fucking hurt on him and he couldn't stand the fact that he couldn't get around him. That's what it really boiled down to. For all of the arguments and all this shit that I had to hear from these fans and from New York about, you know, the Chiefs get everything gifted to them. Really? Ask Juwan Taylor about that.
Did you notice no pre-snap penalties?
No pre-snap penalties. He did get a penalty, but it wasn't a pre-snap penalty. So I think there was a lot of fucking holding that went on from the Jets side as well.
It was just a poorly ref game, both
it
sides.
It really was a poorly – it was poorly ref on both sides. But my point is that you can't – look, man, you're lucky. I'm sorry, Jets fans. But you're very lucky that Patrick Mahomes had an off night. Because if not, that would have been a 34-0 game. Or maybe a 34-2. And by the way, I've talked to three different people that said that should not have been a safety.
Yeah.
Because it started outside of the end zone.
Yeah.
It should have not have been a safety, but they gave it to him anyway.
It's just, like I said, overall, just a poorly just a poorly ref game, and it's unfortunate when you see something like that. There's nothing we can do about it, and you know the Chiefs walk away with a win because they were the better team, and Patrick Mahomes made the plays when he had to.
Yeah, I mean, honest to God, there's been so many times that you know when they say the Chiefs get all the calls, Mahomes has been blasted out of bounds, players have been hit. I mean, stepped on after. I mean, hell, during that game, Pacheco made a pretty damn good run, tried to get up, and was stepped on by a defender and pushed him back down to the ground. That wasn't called. There was a lot of things that weren't called. There's mistakes in every game. There's holds in every game. The hold on Sauce Gardner was no different than the hold last year during the Cincy game. If anybody remembers that, it looked almost identical to the hold that Juju Smith-Schuster had. And the second hold, not the first one that they missed, but the second one. You can't complain about every single thing when it comes to it. If you don't want to lose, don't go down 17 to nothing by halftime. Because when you do, and you're playing a team like the Chiefs, you're going to probably lose no matter if they allow you to come back a little or not. And I will give it up to their defense because their defense did a great job. I'm not going to say they didn't. But they still lost. A loss is a loss. They need to take their lumps and move forward and actually take their praise and move forward because that was a very good game by Zach Wilson. Now, Robert Saleh, he's going to get fined. He got a penalty thrown on him, which made really zero difference at the end of the game. But he will get fined for the things that he said to that referee. Did he have the right to? No. Did he do it for a reason? Absolutely, because he was losing the respect of his defensive players. Everybody knew that the week before. And this gives him a little bit of, I guess, you know, maybe a little bit of respect from the players saying, hey, you stood up for us. Things of that nature.
Yeah, it's like when an umpire, or it's like when a manager, you know, goes out to the umpire to bitch about a strike call and, you know, gets ejected for it.
Exactly. You know, it's just a little bit of a respect that he got, or maybe he got from his players. Especially the defensive side of the ball started to come down on him because they were tired of Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't just the offensive side. It was the defensive side. The fucking special teams was getting upset. The girl walking around giving Gatorade out was upset. Everybody was upset about Zach Wilson. They were upset the fact that he wasn't bringing somebody in to take his place. I want to bring something up really quick because this is probably the dumbest fucking take on Twitter. And whoever brought this up, which I do believe was a national reporter, is an idiot. You absolutely do not go and trade for Kirk Cousins right now. First of all, Minnesota would never do that to Kirk Cousins because you're talking about a guy that's going to come in for a half a season or a little more, and then Aaron Rodgers comes back. And if he does, if for some reason they made it to the playoffs and Rodgers makes it back by the playoffs, his prophecy comes true, and he makes it back by the playoffs. Where do you think Kirk Cousins is going to be sitting? Holding a fucking clipboard, pissed off behind Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to trade him for that reason. And that reason alone, I don't think they would ever do it to him. And I don't think he would ever in a million years accept a trade like that. And I think he has a no trade clause in his contract. That is the dumbest take I've ever heard. If you're going to go after someone, you go after somebody else, go see if you can get Drew Locke off of Seattle. He played very well. Played very well when he had to come in for Geno Smith. Find somebody else. But why would you be dumb enough to think that a starting caliber quarterback would come in on a half-year rental and then try to find another team to go to next year? With a new contract. Makes zero sense.
Just trying to find some talking points or Jets fans trying to find hope. Let's head out to the AFC West with a little bit of our westward expansion segment where we talk about the other pathetic teams that are worse than the Chiefs every year. Let's go alphabetical order. So let's go with the Broncos first. The Broncos beat the lowly Bears. Congratulations, I guess. But it was not easy for the Broncos. No. Their defense continues to just look bad. And Russell Wilson looks better. But
against a bad defense.
Again, exactly. So the Broncos actually move the ball down and score. And then it go. Then the Bears go touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. So they have a 21-7 lead heading into halftime. Then the third quarter starts, and the Bears add another touchdown. So at one point it was 28-7 before the Bears blow their 21-point lead. And then, you know, at the end of the game, the Broncos are able to kick a game-winning field goal, and Justin Fields throws an interception late in the game to really seal it up. So you got to win. Congratulations. Somebody had to win that game, and good job, Denver.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about one of the three worst teams in football, or two of the three worst teams in football playing each other.
Yeah.
So it kind of is what it is. I really feel bad for Justin Fields. And I'm not ever gonna stop feeling bad for him because he's with a terrible organization. He can't catch a break with those guys. He needs to request a trade. It's that simple. He's not as bad as everybody wants to make him out to be. He's on a very poorly ran football team. Nobody's going to convince me any other way, anything else. That's what's going on with him. He makes good plays when he has the opportunity to make good plays. They traded away one of his best wide receivers. He just doesn't have the tools, and he's not given the tools to succeed in that system. People says he can't see wide receivers downfield. He can't do this. He can't do that. You're wrong. He absolutely can. He's in a bad system with a very bad head coach. I'm sorry. It is what it is, Chicago fans. You haven't been shit since 1985, and you're probably not going to continue to be shit for a very long time. Very, very. What's up, Philip? I think that it's just one of those things that two teams that played each other that were both bad. Sean Payton feels like he's on top of the world right now for some reason. I don't know why. I don't feel like he should. I don't like Sean Payton. I will never like him again. I didn't like him when he was running the score up on people 5 years ago, and I definitely don't like him now. So if that's the last game they win the rest of the season, it's not going to hurt my feelings a bit. They just continue to prove it. Us right and everybody else wrong.
Yeah, what's crazy is that defense was like the good part of the team last year, and now it's gone to absolute crap.
Yeah.
And you know, when they traded away Bradley Chubb last year to Miami, you were like, okay, where are you going to get your pass rush from now? And yeah. I think that's their biggest problem is there's no pass rush from the Broncos, and I think that's killing them. That quarterbacks can just sit back there and they have an hour and a half to make a throw. Even teams with, you know, mediocre to bad offensive lines, the Bears do not have a good offensive line at all.
We saw that
when they played here in Kansas City. And yet Justin Fields looked like he's an MVP candidate. You know, he set the franchise record for passes completed in a row. I think he was 16 for 16 at one point.
Yeah, he was.
Before he threw a Hail Mary at the end of the half.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Broncos are bad, and that makes me feel good. Couldn't happen to a better franchise, in my opinion.
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, the only other franchise it could happen to is the Raiders, and they're just as shitty as the Bronco franchise, as far as I'm concerned. That was Justin Fields' best game, by the way.
If anybody wants
to know. It was 308 yards,
four touchdowns, one pick.
And by the way, really quick, I know this is probably going to be something that people take out of context, but they put him in a position to lose because they could have kicked the field goal and relied on their defense.
Oh yeah.
but they didn't. And they put him in a position to throw up a pass that he shouldn't have thrown. That's in my opinion, they put him in a position to fail.
There were multiple coaching blunders over the weekend. I thought the Commanders should have went for two instead of going to overtime. But, you know, this is what bad coaches do. This is what bad teams do, right? What is the what's the saying? Dysfunctional franchises do dysfunctional things. Dysfunctional, I'm taking that one step further, dysfunctional teams do make dysfunctional decisions. So,
speaking of... And we know, by the way, we have been down that road with taking the 3 points or going for two when we should have went for the touchdown. And it cost us. In fact, it cost us last year against the Colts.
Yeah.
So we know what that's like in that position.
Speaking of a dysfunctional franchise, really franchises since they both played in the same game, we'll just go with the Chargers because Alphabet. Khalil Mack had six sacks.
Six.
And they still only won by one touchdown.
Yeah.
Look, the Chargers continue. Austin Eckler's out. Justin Herbert was through for 167 yards coming off of a great game the week before. Nobody did anything. I mean, this was just a bad game for the Chargers offense. I think, look, this is what the Chargers are. Every year they get hyped up about how look at the talent on this team. They're going to be great. They're going to, you know, come up against the Chiefs and fight for the division. And then they don't do squat. They're 2-2. They beat the Raiders by a touchdown. And I mean, I could just go ahead and talk about the Raiders, about how Jimmy Garoppolo, the man made of glass, was out with a concussion. Who would have taken Jimmy Garoppolo to miss games early in the season? I can't imagine anybody who would possibly say that.
Yeah.
But
actually, I remember specifically saying I gave him five games and he actually made it to three. So he beat me by two games. I mean,
so the Raiders had to go with Aiden O'Connell, who I'm pretty sure is just a random generated name. He didn't even score a touchdown. Josh Jacobs and was. They only scored rushing touchdowns, I guess I should say, as Aiden O'Connell had a rushing touchdown. But when you have three carries for 3 yards, you know, I'm not really giving you credit for a rushing touchdown.
No. And here, by the way, Aiden O'Connell was the quarterback that saved Josh McDaniels' job last year because his whole precedence on keeping his job was to trade away Derek Carr to coach up the young new guy into Tom Brady because he was Tom Brady-ish.
Yeah. I mean, Aiden O'Connell literally had three fumbles on the day and lost two of them.
Yeah.
It's a bad team.
It's a horrible team. And they're not going to get any better.
Bad team. I'm sorry, but they're just coaching. Not. The only reason that you have any sort of quote-unquote hope or any reason to watch this team is because you have two dynamic playmakers and one of the best running backs in the NFL in Josh Jacobs, and one of the best wide receivers in the NFL in Devontae Adams, who left the game, did come back, but left the game with a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
So just bad teams, and you know this is the benefit of being the only functional franchise in the AFC West, is you don't have to deal with this garbage.
You know what's sad is that – and by the way, I will still say that I'm going to ride this till I die. Devontae Adams will ask for a trade by week 8. They are all dysfunctional. The one team that always tends to give us a little bit of trouble is the Chargers.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how bad they'll be. When the Raiders play us on Monday Night Football, it'll be a tough game at Arrowhead. And both times we play the Chargers, it'll be a tough game. That's how it works.
Yeah, it just happens. Now, last year was a little bit of a different story. I mean, we smoked the Raiders twice. I'm okay with that.
No, we only beat the Raiders by one. The first.
Oh, no, it was the year before we smoked them twice. Sorry,
I think it was like 27-28. And the reason that – and the wide receivers on the Raiders ran into each other. And that's when Devontae Adams, when he was leaving Arrowhead, as he was running into the tunnel.
When he shoved that guy down. Yeah, I remember that. It was the year before we smoked him twice without Kelsey and Tyreek in the game. They're just, I don't know what Josh, I haven't looked at Josh McDaniels' contract. I don't know what kind of contract he got. I don't know if it was a 5-year deal. I don't know if it was a year, you know, like a month to month situation with him. I really don't know what he has. But if he's on a month to month lease, great for the Raiders, because I don't see him lasting much longer. If they end up winning 4 games this season, maybe if they're lucky 4 games, 5 games this season, he's not going to be back next year. I just don't see it happening. Now, the fact that Brady was approved to be a minority owner, maybe he will. I don't know. We may still see Brady suit up this year. We just don't know what's going to happen. He may have to. They're running out of time, and they're running out of quarterbacks. But I think it'd be a giant mistake if he did. Yeah. But regardless, they suck. And look, man, they have some talented players on that football team. And that's the hard part.
Isn't this how we expected the AFC West to be? Chiefs
to a degree, yeah.
3-1, Chargers 2-2, and the Broncos and Raiders have
fighting for dead last.
And exactly, yeah. They're in the tank bowl together.
Yep. It's sad when I look at some of these talented players on teams like this, just simply because these guys deserve to be on a winning team. They deserve to be with an organization.
Just put that comment away. I don't want to even.
What's he guys? What did it say?
No, nothing.
So I think when you look at our offense having the set of MVS, Rice, Gray, and Kelsey lined up at wide receiver as our best bet at scoring when you look at our scoring drives. You're right, 100%. Couldn't agree more. Justin Ross does need more reps.
That kind of comment is why they took away the dislike button on YouTube.
Justin Ross is a good wide receiver. He needs the reps.
Yeah, he's so good. He's so good that he has one catch. That's how good he is.
Anyways, he has any reps.
I want to move on to our next little segment with the contender or pretender. I'd like to hear the chat on this one too. I've got 4 teams on here. I want to hear your thoughts. The first one is the Bills. I will openly admit, at least to this point, that I was wrong about the Bills. I thought the defense was going to suffer from some withdrawal and that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs were going to have less of a
connection.
And, you know, week one, I felt vindicated. But since then, the Bills have found it. So I thought they were a pretender to start the year, but I feel like now we're moving into the contender spot.
Who did they play? Who have they played other than the first game when they got killed?
They played the Jets. Then they played the Raiders, Commanders, Dolphins.
Okay, so you got the Jets, bad football team. The Raiders, bad football team. Yeah, good defense. Bad football team with the Raiders. The Commanders, right now, they're kind of, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we don't know about that one yet. The Miami Dolphins got their asses kicked by the Bills. Now, we do know that is a very good football team to a degree, and they are division rivals. But I think the Bills in that division are a contender over the Miami Dolphins. Right now, that's how I see it.
Yeah, I think I got to move them back into the contender spot. I know that, you know, you don't get to choose who you play. But I think the Bills, after the fumble that they had in week one, I know you aren't facing, you know, elite teams this early in the season, but you've handled business. You put up more than 30 points for 3 weeks in a row. I mean, you put 38 mm-hmm. up on the Raiders, 37 on the Commanders, and 48 up on the Dolphins. I don't care who you're facing. If you're able to put up that many points in back-to-back-to-back weeks, that tells me that your offense is clicking. And you only allowed 10, 3, and then 20 points on these teams. So your defense is playing well. Your offense is on fire. I think I got to move them back in the contender spot.
For now, yes, that's where they belong.
All right, moving on. My next team is actually the Dolphins. Contender or pretender?
Right now, I'm going to say pretender. I think they played a very bad football team with the Broncos, and they It was a statement game because a lot of coaches are going to be doing that to Sean Payton. When they get the opportunity to, they'll do it. But I don't believe that they are set up at this point to move through this season with their schedule and be a contender. Not after what just happened to them by the Bills, one of their division rivals that they should know better than that. They should know that football team well enough to not get slaughtered by 28 points. So I think they're a pretender right now.
I still think that they can win the East. That offense, it speaks for itself. It's fast. It's, they're able to get run after the catch, and I think Tua is able to get the ball where it needs to go. That Vic Fangio defense, I was definitely higher on it before the season started than I am now. I don't think that they've really settled into that new scheme. I still think the Dolphins win the division. You have one loss, and yeah, that loss is to the Bills, but you're going to face them again later this time. I don't know when they play them exactly, but you still got games against the Patriots and the Jets. You're not a first place schedule, so you're going to get easier games.
Thank you, Thiz. Thank you. I've been saying that for years, and everybody said I was fucking nuts. He's absolutely a fraud against great quarterbacks. And he's old school mentality. His old school mentality hurts him more than it helps him. He doesn't change with the times. I agree. And I agree with your other statement that it's a lot of flash and not enough substance. I agree with that as well. If you go out like that, regardless if you have Waddle in or out of the game, with all of the talent on that football team, and you could score 20 points, only score 20 points.
They literally scored 70 the week before.
Exactly. There's that right there is just straight fraud. That to me, that is just fraudulent. And I think that kind of screams to me that I think they're going to have a couple of games where they come back and they do really well against teams other than the Bills or Bill-like teams. But when it comes down to it, they're going to struggle. I feel like they're going to struggle. Right now, they're a pretender to me.
Yeah, I think they still win the division. So I'm against you here. I don't think this is a team that makes a deep playoff run. Because I do question whether or not that passing game plays well into January. And I do think that the Bills have sort of put out there what you can do to at least limit some of that passing game. But I just think that that offense and it shows the super firepower that it has. And the defense inevitably is going to get better as they continue to learn the scheme.
Yeah.
All right, two more. We'll see. I've got the Baltimore Ravens, contender or pretender.
That's a tough one for me. I feel like I can say they're a pretender right now. Lamar Jackson is going to continue to be injured. He's going to continue to have those injury-prone games. And I feel like when it boils down to it, it's hard because their division is so fucking weird. Right now, I'm going to say pretender because we're only 3-4 weeks into the season. Ask me that in 3 weeks.
I plan on doing this during the Chiefs bye week anyway, so that works out. Okay. Look, I think up to this point, they're a pretender. Week one, you blow out the Texans. Congratulations. Week two, you beat a Bengals team with an injured Joe Burrow. Congratulations. Week three, you lose to the Colts. Week four, you beat a Browns team with a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You don't have a statement win. You don't have a statement game. I don't think this offense is clicking the way that the new offensive coordinator wants it to. You're riddled with injuries. And the defense gave up like a good amount of points to two of your four teams that you played. You gave up 24 points to an injured Joe Burrow and 22 points to a Colts team that eventually had Gardner Minshew come in and play. So yeah. I think that they're pretenders. I just don't think that this team is clicking. I know they're first in the AFC North, but it just doesn't look the way that I think they want it to look, and I don't know if it's ever going to pick up.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
All right.
That's why I want to know. I want that same question in 2 to 3 weeks. We'll see where they sit.
All right, final team. We're going to go with the Houston Texans, contender.
Man, right now they're a pretender. That's everything's new. I don't feel like, I mean, as much as I like their head coach and I feel like they have the opportunity to do well moving forward, right now I don't think they're the contender. I just don't see it.
I don't really even want to say pretender. I almost just want to create a new category, but you know, it's my little segment, so I'm not going to do that. So yeah, I guess I'll just go with pretender, but I think it's just because they don't have enough firepower on the offense. Look, CJ Stroud, I feel so vindicated about having Stroud as my number one quarterback in the draft. I feel so great about that, about not choosing Mini-Me to be the best quarterback. He's come out and played fantastic.
Man, he really has.
I mean, he's out there. His mechanics are good. He's not making dumb decisions like other rookie quarterbacks will. I think there's a good chance that they're viable into November and December in the AFC South. But, yeah, anything significant outside of that, obviously, I think pretender. But, hey, the Texans have looked good, and the whole reason I added them to this segment is I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Texans for just C.J. Stroud specifically, for just looking really
good. He looks so
really
good.
Good.
He does. He looks really good.
I mean, like I said, they got blown out in week one. They put up a tough fight against the Colts in week two. Then they beat down the Jaguars 37-17, and then they slammed the Steelers outside of Texas 30-6. I mean, look, the Steelers and Jaguars aren't great teams, but those are good teams, you know, and you beat the crap out of them in back-to-back weeks. So though, if you want to become a real conversation about being back on the map, those are the kind of games that you have to play early in the year, and the Texans have.
Yeah. I am really, really confused on the Jaguars right now. I don't know what is happening. I don't know if Lawrence has lost his confidence. I can't figure out what it is. But to me, they look like the team that was going to be playing us in the AFC Championship game. And now they look like the team that may not make the playoffs.
Well, fortunately for them, they play in the worst division in the AFC.
So. Yeah, that's true. One team I do want to bring up that got beat again this week, and we can use Joe Burrow's injury if we want, but the Bengals are not playing well on any phase of the ball. They're just not playing well.
Ja'Marr Chase had a little something to say about that. Roll it, Diz. Roll it. Okay, well, look, obviously Joe Burrow's injury is a huge deal, and it was a
mistake. I'm open. I'm always fucking open. Excuse my profanity. I'm sorry.
So there you go. You know, we're getting to the point now where the team's getting frustrated. You have a star wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase who feels like he's not getting the ball. And the reason you're not getting the ball is because your quarterback cannot step into his throws. And Joe Burrow does not have, you know, a cannon for an arm. He's always been a very precise guy, and that's not a shot at Joe Burrow. That's just the truth. Joe Burrow needs to step into his throws like a normal human being in order to make his throws. So when you take away his ability to step into a throw, you're not hitting those deep passes. Joe Burrow has looked pathetic. They scored 3 points for the second time this year. We're in week four. That means half the games he's played in, he scored 3 points.
Oh, by the way, they have a 13.9% chance of making the playoffs.
Right? Yeah, they've looked pathetic. I think that at this point, you need to bench Joe Burrow because
they need to make that decision and just fucking do it instead of playing games.
And it's affecting the team. It's affecting the gameplay.
And it's going to eventually affect him. It's going to.
You're only going to hurt yourself more.
Yeah. If he tears an Achilles, he's screwed. If he tears an Achilles, yeah, we better hope his contract has a very large injury guarantee in there. Because if he tears that thing, which can very well happen with the injury that he has, oh, man.
I know. I saw someone went that their conspiracy theory is that they're looking to tank this year so they can cut or not re-sign their wide receivers and draft Marvin Harrison Jr. so they can go back to having, you know, back-to-back great weapons on their offense again.
Well, here's the thing. If that was the case, which I'm not saying it's not. I mean, look, at Cincinnati. Who knows what the fuck they'll do? But
yeah, they eat Skyline chili, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's ass in a fucking bowl. But anyway, if you're going to tank and you're going to make it make a decision to do something like that, when you have Ja'Marr Chase, which is arguably a, you know, top 10 wide receiver in this league, maybe top 8 wide receiver.
I would say top 5.
And even top 5. Then you're stupid. I mean, you made the, look, man, we have talked about this numerous times. If you make a decision to give your quarterback 30% of your cap space, that's on you. You made that decision. You made that fucking mistake. He's an I'm sorry, but he's been to the Super Bowl on a very weak schedule and beat us by 3 with some really bad calls, and he lost to not a great Rams team at the time. So, in my opinion, a lot of these quarterbacks that are getting these giant contracts, $60 million, $62 million, $65 million, they're unproven quarterbacks that are getting paid ungodly amounts of money that are actually hurting your football team in the long run because you cannot sign quality players to help them. Nobody has the luxury of having a quarterback that can make everybody better other than one football team in this league. And we talk about that football team on our show. No one else has been able to do that so far. They've tried, but they've failed. We're in a unique position. They are not. So to pay him $65 million a year for him to regress, and I understand he has an injury, and that they hurt him worse with this injury by allowing him to go out there and play, they deserve their lumps. It's that simple. Protect your fucking investment.
It reminds me of what the Browns did to Baker Mayfield a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when he hurt his shoulder and, you know, they just kept playing him despite the fact that he obviously wasn't the same. Now, obviously, you know, the Bengals aren't going to move on from Joe Burrow at the end of the year, right? But
they don't have much of a choice. They can't, but yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's just a bad decision, and the Bengals look really bad. So
they do. It's their coaching. Their head coach looks bad. Their ownership looks bad. Joe Burrow looks stupid for going out there and doing it.
You're wasting another year of your career. I hope the injury doesn't get worse, and you just look pathetic out there.
Yeah. You absolutely look pathetic, and that's absolutely correct. He's not a brick house like Josh Allen. He's very – I mean, you know, his rookie season, he couldn't play because of his leg. So why continue – he's got – I'm sorry, but he's not the biggest guy as far as stature is concerned. Yeah, he's got a little height on him, but he's not a monstrous, strong-built guy. In fact, you look at Lamar Jackson and – if Caleb was on this show, he would tell you, I've been saying this shit since his rookie season, that this is what we were going to see with Lamar Jackson moving forward, because he wasn't an accurate passer at the time, but they kept pushing him to run the ball with those skinny chicken legs. No offense, Lamar. A DB is going to take you out at some point, and they've done it 4 times now in the last 3 years. He has had a leg ankle injury. You have to build your team to protect your asset if you're going to pay that asset stupid money, especially an unproven asset. And right now, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson are all unproven assets. The most proven is Joe Burrow because he made it to a Super Bowl on a very weak schedule. So if you're going to continue to make those mistakes as an organization and as a coaching staff, then you take your lumps when he's not out on the field for a year. Because ask the Jets how that feels right now. I mean, it is what it is. Something was brought up on our – and I noticed if anybody's watching, do you see the PSF up in the top right corner? That is the PSF app. Sean Salisbury has created this app. Make sure you download the app. It is one of the best game casts that you can possibly want to be on and be involved with simply because it's built for the fans. You have commentators, you have video, you have audio. You can say pretty much whatever you want to a degree, and you know you're not regulated. It's a great thing. Have a lot of fun with it. It's continuing to grow every week, week in and week out. It's getting better and better. Pretty soon, we're going to have it where we're going to have the games being played on this app. It will be on computers, and eventually it'll be on TV. So make sure you get in early, because when you get in early, you get the best of both worlds. When you get in late, you might have to pay. We talked about this on that app during the game and during a lot of games, actually. But when you look at what, like with Patrick Mahomes, that was the most pressure he had been under at all this season because of the stunts that they ran, a lot of holding, a lot of neck grabs, a lot of things that weren't called. But regardless, that was a lot of pressure he was under. And our offensive line wasn't really prepared for that. We have one of the best offensive lines in football. If you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, who have not one of the best offensive lines in football, and then you have OBJ, Orlando Brown Jr., that is famous for letting people by, and he's injured, you're taking a risk that no one in their right mind would take at this point. And I think it's time. They should have put him on IR, is what they should have done. Let him sit the 4 weeks and move forward. But they did not do that. This reminds me, again, of what you said, and it also reminds me of the Justin Herbert situation when he broke his cartilage off of his ribs and continued to play, not during that game, but the week after and the week after and the week after. That is a terrible organization that puts your quarterback in that position. No matter how you look at it, that's not something you should do. We are in a unique situation because Mahomes can play through a bullet wound. A lot of guys cannot. So you have to take that into consideration. Quit trying to be like someone else and be you. If you can't be you, you're never going to make it in this league and you're never going to see a Lombardi. There's a big empty trophy case that says Ware Day all over it. And it's going to continue to say Ware Day until they get their shit straightened out. That's all I got to say about that. But with that being said, all in all, I'm not complaining about the game. We needed it. We really did need that kind of game. We went up against a team that we should have blown out, and we didn't. We started off blowing him out, but we made some mental mistakes. We relaxed a little too much. We weren't prepared for the stunts that they run because they've ran those stunts before, and we felt it. Now it's time to learn from your mistakes and move forward, and that's exactly what they'll do. What else you got, Quentin?
That's it.
Okay. Well, make sure everybody on here downloads the PSF app. Get on there. We're on there every Sunday. We're going to have, hopefully, we'll have RG3 on in the next few weeks to call the game. We had Boo Smith on last week, It was a lot of fun to have him on. He knows the game very well. Still waiting for his call. He did get a call from the Chiefs, which makes me happy. So I feel like by week 8, he will be playing for someone. Hopefully it is the Chiefs. Great punt returner. Good wide receiver. Great wide receiver, actually. But we're going to have a lot of good people on that app and a lot of fun. So make sure you join. When you join, just pick Chiefs fans. Follow Uncut Chiefs Focus. And you will be in for the long haul. And thank you, Sean Salisbury, for doing everything that you do. He's put a lot into this. So with that being said, we will talk to you guys again on Thursday. Peace out, everyone.